Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come, he will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising to the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. O God of my salvation, even if my father and my mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. All of Psalm 27. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Father, for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Thank you for being our Lord who teaches our hands to war. Thank you, Father, for your word, which is the sword of the Spirit. But it's not only that, it's also an arsenal of weaponry whereby we can go out and step out on the battlefield in life and be victorious daily as we put the weapons of our warfare to work. More and more, teach us to war as you would in the power of your Spirit, wisely, skillfully, and faithfully. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I know that the scriptures say that when you speak, it is. Whatever you say comes into being. You have full authority, Father. And Father, I ask that you teach us about that authority. You commend the faith of the centurion when he asked Jesus to heal his son. And he says that he too is a man under authority. and Jesus heals his son without even going to his house. Father, you are the full authority. So, Father, teach us about that. Teach us about being in your kingdom under your authority, Father. And teach us about Jesus and how he got all authority in and under heaven. Thank you so much, Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're very honored to have as a phone guest today Jane Hammond. She's the author of a book entitled Confronting the Thief, Take Back What the Enemy Stole, and Declare Divine Recovery Over Your Heart, Family, and Life. Jane, how are you today?
I'm doing really well, Pastor Joseph. Thank you so much for having me with you.
A privilege and an honor to have you on. And I would mention, my wife, Brady, and I had the privilege of meeting you. It's been, I think, maybe about a year and a half ago when you were preaching in Tupelo, Mississippi, at a church here in town. And we're really blessed and encouraged by your ministry. And so would you take a moment, Jane, now to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners about you and your ministry, what you do, and we're going to soon after that dive right into letting you share about the book, Confronting the Thief.
Absolutely. Well, my husband and I have been senior leaders, senior pastors of Vision Church at Christian International in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida for almost 40 years. We've been in full-time ministry for 43 years and have traveled to 65 nations, preaching, praying, and prophesying over people in the body of Christ, leaders, national leaders, and it's just been a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord that way. We have three kids and seven beautiful grandchildren, and we absolutely love the body of Christ, and we love what God's doing in the earth today.
All right. And also, am I correct, you have a broadcast called Prophetic Pulse? Is that a weekly broadcast, daily broadcast? How often
It's a weekly broadcast. It comes out of Christian International. So if people follow Christian International, that that program comes out of our headquarters ministry. Christian International was founded by my father-in-law, Dr. Bill Hammond, who is now celebrating 70 years of ministry. He's 90 years old, 70 years of ministry. And Christian International has been instrumental in training up people to hear the voice of God on a very personal level and to be trained in using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we've been doing that for, again, over 40 years.
Okay. And so if someone wants to visit your church, tell them how to get there?
We are in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida, on Highway 98. They can visit us at visionchurchci.org, and that will give you all the information that you need.
All righty. Well, again, an honor and a privilege to have you on today. And before we dive into the book, I want to ask if you'll do this for me. You know, the 20 different people may give you 20 different definitions of the word prophetic, and that's a word that's used quite a bit in the body of Christ. Would you define the word prophetic for our listeners as you use it?
Absolutely. The most basic definition of the word prophetic, I believe, is hearing what God says and saying what God says. So I believe that when Jesus said to his disciples, "My sheep hear my voice," he was encouraging us that as believers, we are supposed to be able to tune our ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And that prayer is not supposed to be a one-way conversation with us doing all the talking to the Lord, but that we're supposed to take time to actually listen to what God says and then say what God says. That is actually being prophetic. And of course, in Acts chapter 2, we see that on the day of Pentecost, when the church was birthed, the scripture from Joel was spoken by Peter, and he said, "In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, and on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." So prophesying is hearing God's voice, saying what the Lord says, receiving from the Lord in prophetic dreams, receiving from the Lord in visions where God is speaking to us in picture form. I believe these are all accessible to every single member of the body of Christ. You don't have to be a prophet to hear the voice of God. I believe every believer should be prophetic.
Mm. I appreciate you really kind of breaking that down, so thank you for taking the time to share that. As we begin, would you take time now specifically to pray for our listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them, and also that they'd be able to really grasp it and take it and run with it, the truths that the Lord opens their hearts to?
Yes, thank you, Father. We're just so grateful to you, Lord, that you desire to have such a personal relationship with us. And Father, your heart is that your people walk in a place of victory, no matter what we're going through. And so I do pray today, Father God, you'll give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that's ready to believe and receive everything that you're speaking today. And Father, I just submit my words to you, and thank you, Father, that regardless of what I am speaking, Lord, that your voice will be louder than my voice, speaking to people, challenging people, stirring people, Father, to be obedient to the calling of God upon their lives. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just release your anointing that destroys every yoke in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jane. Want to ask Pastor Jane, if you'll do this, the title of your book, Confronting the Thief, the title is The Confronting the Thief, and of course the subtitle, Take Back What the Enemy Stole and Declare Divine Recovery Over Your Heart, Family, and Life. And of course, obviously, the topic or the title in your topic deals heavily with the reality of spiritual warfare. Would you take a moment to explain why the title and the message behind the title of the book?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the book is based on John 10:10, where Jesus said to his disciples, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life, and you might have life more abundantly." The word abundantly actually comes from a Greek word, which means superabundant in quantity, superior in quality, exceedingly above and beyond, and it literally means more. And so a number of years ago, Pastor Joseph, I had a vision before our Sunday morning prayer, Sunday morning service. We were in a time of prayer, and I had a vision. For anybody that maybe is not familiar with that, that's when God just speaks to you in a picture or a parable or kind of an open scene that you may see either in your spirit or with your natural eyes. And I saw this boxing ring, and inside the boxing ring, there were two demonic spirits. They were not fighting each other. They were dancing around the ring looking for an opponent from the crowd. And one of them was, his name was the Devourer. The other one's name was the Destroyer. And they were mocking the crowd and saying, "Who's going to fight us? Who's going to fight us?" And I looked around at the crowd, and it was filled with people that I knew, leaders, pastors, prophets, people that are full of, you know, that are spiritual warriors, and they just were sitting there. They didn't respond to this enemy that was taunting them. And I was thinking, why doesn't somebody get in there and knock their heads off and make them be quiet? But they were just sitting there, just paralyzed almost, or passive in response. And so I looked back at the ring, and when I did, I saw, you know, how a boxer will come into the ring, and they've got like a robe on their back, and they're dancing around before the fight. And in the vision, I looked at the back of the robe, and instead of Devourer and Destroyer, were written these words, "This is just life." And as I looked at those words, I understood what the Lord was showing me, how often the Devourer or the Destroyer comes, and we think, "Oh, well, this is just life. This is just a bad economy. That's why I have no money. This is just what happens when you get older. Your body breaks down. This is just life. This is just life when you send your children off to college. They go into rebellion, and they fall away from the Lord. This is just life."
Pastor Jane, I'm going to jump in right here,
and just life.
We'll pick up right there
up,
on the other
take
side.
Take back okay? What the enemy stole.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Jane Hammond. She's the author of the book Confronting the Thief, Take Back What the Enemy Stole and Declare Divine Recovery Over Your Heart, Family, and Life. Pastor Jane, if you'll pick up right there, close to where you left off, please.
Absolutely. So in my vision, I was seeing that people were not responding to the taunts of the devourer and the destroyer because on the back of their robe were written the words, "This is just life." And how many times have we just accepted the robbery of the enemy? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, "You need to tell my people, no, this is not just life. There is a robber, there is a destroyer, there is a devourer, and you need to rise up and take back everything the enemy has stolen from you." And I knew when he said it, it wasn't just about money. It was about our joy. It was about our peace, taking back our families, taking back our health, taking back the prophetic promises that the enemy has robbed from us, even taking back our cities and our nation. And so it really was a time, a call to arms to engage against the enemy and begin to rise up and become the ecclesia, the church that Jesus had called us to be in the midst of the earth.
And so in that vision, the Lord was just kind of showing you some of the dynamics of spiritual warfare and the deceptions that often are used to, I guess you might say, kind of keep people asleep or at least not resisting like they could or should be. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. You know, when I got up and shared it that morning in our church service, so many people had that moment where they were like, "Oh my gosh, I just thought that this was a circumstance, or I thought that this was just the economy, or I thought it was just this or that. But oh my goodness, I have been robbed by the enemy." And of course, the scripture says, if you catch a thief, Exodus 22:7 says, if you catch a thief, he must restore double. There's another scripture that says, if you catch a thief, he's got to restore seven times. And so there is that which we can put a demand on when we recognize the enemy's been robbing from us, stealing, killing, destroying. We can actually rise up and demand that he pay back what he's taken.
Hmm. Would you take a moment specifically to pray about that, to pray for believers to grasp that? And I tell you, I want to mention something very specific here, okay? My wife and I, we direct a mobile pregnancy ministry in the Mississippi Delta. And recently, just a major vehicle issue came up that we had to pay a lot of money for. And strange that it happened because the unit is relatively new. So would you pray for believers to grasp what you're— I'm going to ask you to pray for our pregnancy ministry, but also to grasp the fact that we can address these kinds of things. And I would mention in particular, sadly, as it relates to the life issue, sometimes the warfare is kind of especially intense with the life issue, but still, in life, in so many areas, those kinds of things can happen, and people may, like you said, may think, well, it's just the way things are. Would you pray about that now?
Absolutely, absolutely. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're opening our eyes so that we can see. We can see, Lord, not only your hand and your plan, but, Father, we can see the things that the enemy has been doing covertly underneath the surface, God, the things that he's been doing to just create circumstances that rob our finances, that rob our blessing. Jesus, when you said you wanted to give us abundant life, you were saying that you wanted to bless us exceedingly, God, in every area of our life, but the enemy comes to rob the quantity of our blessings and the quality of our life. So, Father, we do pray for this life mobile unit, Father, right now, God, and we take back what the enemy has stolen. We declare that every single dime, every single dollar that has been sent, that has been spent to repair it, Father, that you're going to bring it in supernaturally, God, not just to pay what's been lost, but, God, you're going to give back sevenfold of what the enemy has stolen. We thank you, Lord, that that is a principle of your word and a promise from your heart. And we thank you, God, that each and every believer now is beginning to recognize areas where the enemy has stolen their children, areas where the enemy has stolen their vision for the future, and areas where the enemy has stolen their dream. Lord, areas where their health has been stolen from them. So often we can just get into a this is just life mentality and say, well, I should have taken better care of my body, or I should have done this, or I should have done that. Lord, we're so grateful for your grace that makes up for it when we make mistakes and we don't do it right, God. It's not based on how perfect we are or how right we are, God. If we've done it wrong, we repent. But, Father, we thank you right now, God, that as we repent and put ourselves in the right position before you, God, you will mobilize all of heaven to help us contend with the thief and take back what the enemy has stolen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jane. Share with our listeners this specifically, though, like from your perspective, what does the abundant life that Jesus promises really, what should it look like in the life of your average believer?
Amen. Well, you know, I think that if we are measuring it just on a financial level, we are really missing it, because I believe that what an abundant life is really about is fulfilling every purpose, fulfilling every calling that God has put upon our life, and giving us joy, peace, righteousness in the midst of it. I believe that an abundant life is having an abundance of provision to do the vision that God has given to you, but it's also a place where we can begin to contend, to walk in a place where our families are whole, our heart is whole, our minds are clear, our spirit is active, and we are able to minister to others out of the overflow of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. My heart and my life are so full whenever I see other people's lives being touched. And I think that when we start speaking of abundant life, if we're just thinking me, 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 or mine, 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 I think we're missing out on the fullness of the kingdom that God really desired for us to walk in. And so every blessing, every breakthrough, every victory that we walk in individually should then be converted into a place where we are able to pray for others to have victory. We are able to contend for others to step into breakthrough, and we are able to begin to walk into that place of the calling and the purpose of God, not just for our own selfish need, but to be able to extend and expand the kingdom everywhere we go.
Mm. You know, I appreciate you sharing that so much, Pastor Jane. You know, I think of this, that the Holy Spirit is all about ministry all the time. Mm-hmm. And so a believer can't be selfish if they're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's just not going to happen, you know. So that's so powerful that you'd share that then. So what is the spirit of robbery that you talked about in your book?
So where that phrase actually came from, I mean, the whole book tracks the study of the Amalekite tribe. And the Amalekites were a tribe that Israel contended with from the moment they got out of Egyptian slavery all the way through the book of Esther, because Haman, the evil conspirator against the people of God, was from the Amalekite line. And the Amalekites were called plunderers. They were called robbers. And every time they came in contact with Israel, they were robbing from them, they were killing, they were destroying. They were literally like the personification of the devil. And so when the phrase spirit of robbery came from a time when I was meeting in a public place with some Christian business people, and there was this couple that I knew that had done really, really well, even through economic downturn. God had blessed their company. They'd grown. They'd prospered. And when I looked across the room at them, the Lord said, go break a spirit of robbery off of them. And I kind of argued just a little bit, to be honest. I was kind of like, well, they're really blessed, Lord. I mean, I don't understand that. And the Lord just said, just go do that, okay? So I went over and greeted them, and I said, listen, the Lord told me to break a spirit of robbery off of you. And they looked at each other, and they said, oh, my goodness, is that what's happening? And they were in real estate, and they began to explain that that over the last 5 weeks, they had lost $5.5 million worth of deals before they could come to closing. And it was like one thing after another just was going wrong. And so we prayed that day and broke the spirit of robbery, and we declared Exodus 22:7 over their lives, that the thief must restore double. 5 or 6 weeks later, they called me back to tell me that in that subsequent 5 weeks, they had closed over $11 million worth of real estate deals. So they literally received back double for their trouble. And so I think that we need to understand it from a biblical perspective. We need to understand it from a kingdom perspective. And we need to understand it in such a way to understand that we are called to contend with the spirit that's robbing our cities, it's robbing our nations, it's robbing our churches, it's robbing our businesses, and to break the spirit of robbery off so that we can begin to enter into that place of victory and breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. You know, of course, as you alluded to, John 10:10 reminds us of, amongst other things, the devil's job description. He's a thief, and that's who he is, and that's what he does, you know. So, well, tell me this, too. You talk about our identity in Christ. Can you share why is that so important for us to really understand who we are and what we are in Christ as we do spiritual warfare?
Well, I think that we have to understand, Pastor Joseph, that that we are here representing Jesus Christ in the earth, and that we are called to be ones that can be a reflection of who he is. But before we can do that, we've got to be have such a grace and an understanding of who we are. And I believe that that's so important during this season of time when people have been through so much difficulty and they have been through trauma, they've been through grief, they've been through being victimized, and the enemy comes and steals their identity. I mean, one of the things that's happening in the earth today is something called identity theft. And my husband actually experienced identity theft where the enemy came and stole his identity. I think that the issue of sin in the earth today goes all the way back to the garden when the enemy came to Eve and he said, you know, did God really say that? And then he said, listen, God's afraid that if you partake of the fruit in the garden, that you will be like God. Well, what's wrong with that statement? The fact was, she was already like God. She was made in the image, character, and nature of God. So the very first thing the enemy did, is he came and he robbed her identity. And when she no longer knew who she was, she no longer had power to discern the works of the enemy and to be able to stand against them. And so I believe that everything that we do has to be rooted and grounded in a Christ-centered identity, not a shame-based identity, because shame will come and try to take you out, just like it did the children of Israel when they confronted the Amalekites and the Canaanites trying to go into the promised land. You know, all the Israelites could say was, you know, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and so are we also in our own sight. In other words, the enemy robbed their identity that they were the chosen people of God, because if they really believed they were the chosen people of God, they would have had no fear and going in and taking the land that God had promised to them. But the first thing the enemy will do is come and rob your identity in Christ, begin to steal your courage, and then he begins to neutralize any effect that you might have in affecting or changing the earth. And so I believe that foundationally, we have to understand that if we're going to confront the thief, we've got to allow the Lord to solidify and to help us be confident about our walk in Christ, because the enemy always wants to bring accusation, always wants to bring shame, always wants to undercut us in our place of authority. And I believe that this is a season that we're taking back our authority by taking back our identity.
Mm. Well, you know, we're coming up on a break in just a few moments here. And so you may can start answering this and may have to finish on the other side, though. But in Exodus 22:7, it talks about the caught thief has to restore double what's been stolen. Can you elaborate on first what that really means and why that's important for believers to grasp?
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is so important is that, number one, we've got to recognize we've been stolen from. Mm-hmm. I was in a place where somebody tried to pick my pocket one time, and I felt them trying to pick my pocket, and I kind of turned over and kind of grabbed my purse, and I was like, did that really just happen? And she didn't actually get anything from me, but then somebody came up behind her and kind of whopped her on the head and started yelling at her because he had actually watched her try to pick my pocket. And so the first thing is we've got to recognize that the enemy's been trying to pick our pockets and rob from us and steal. We've got to realize that, first of all. Number two, then we've got to begin to put a demand on the enemy. And I recommend people do this through prayer and through decrees, because Psalms 81:10 says, open your mouth with a mighty decree. I will fulfill it now, you'll see. The words that you speak, so shall it be. Job 22:28 says, you shall decree a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your way.
We're going to pick up right there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Jane Hammond. She's the author of Confronting the Thief, Take Back What the Enemy Stole, and Declare Divine Recovery Over Your Heart, Family, and Life. We'll be right back. Music from the group Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, our phone guest is Jane Hammond. She's the author of the book Confronting the Thief, Take Back What the Enemy Stole, and Declare Divine Recovery Over Your Heart, Family, and Life. Jane, would you tell our listeners, if they want to get a copy of the book Confronting the Thief, how can they get it?
Well, they can go to TomandJaneHammond.com. H-A-M-O-N is how you spell my last name. Or you can buy it on Amazon, and it should be in Christian bookstores within the next several weeks. But if you want to get your copy, you can just go on either one of those sites. Or you can follow me on social media, and there's all kinds of listings of how you can get the book. Follow me at Jane Hammond, H-A-M-O-N, on social media.
Okay. All right. Thanks for sharing that. What can you tell me, too, how would you say that, like, a person's individual spiritual gifts and miracles maybe they've experienced in their lives, how do those connect to the whole issue of divine recovery?
Well, I think that once we come to a place where we understand that recovery is possible, then we can activate our gifts, and the voice of God, hearing the voice of God, to understand exactly how we move forward in doing that. We had a couple in our church that realized that their company had been robbed. They had been cut off from funding of their business. It was a state-funded project, and they had like a $1.5 million funding for their company, and it got cut off. And when they realized that they'd been robbed, God instructed them to reapply for the funding, to write a decree that they were speaking on a daily basis, and they sowed a seed. They sowed an offering, and God kind of gave them a strategy. What ended up happening is that immediately they were denied from that funding, but then the state turned around and restored the $1.5 million that they had been cut off from, and then doubled their annual funding, and then it went from 1.5 to 3, and then from 3 million to 9 million, and 9 million to 17 million, and 17 million to $25 million annually to fulfill the project that they were working on behalf of the state. And so, see, none of that would have happened had they not confronted the thief and listened to the voice of God for the strategy of how to move forward in recovery. And so sometimes it's a matter of just making decrees. Sometimes it's a matter of prayer. Sometimes it is a matter of going and being obedient to some of the instructions that the Lord actually gives us to fulfill. And so really it does come down to tuning our ears and tuning our heart to the voice of God. Psalms 29 verse 4 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. And Isaiah chapter 30 verse 31 says, the voice of the Lord shatters the enemy. And so when we hear God's voice, it gives us a capacity to do things that we could never do before. I like to say, one word from God changes everything.
You know, Pastor Jane, you're covering a lot of ground in some really powerful and encouraging topics. I'm guessing some of our listeners might think, I need to learn a whole lot more about what she's talking about. Would you tell our listeners, if someone wants to learn more about some of these topics, can you tell them about your broadcast, Prophetic Pulse, and how they could tune into that?
Yes, we have several different things that really could be a tool for you. I have a weekly program that's called Prophetic Pulse, and that comes out of ChristianInternational.com. So if you want to go to ChristianInternational.com, you can find out about that. Again, if you want to go back to TomAndJaneHammond.com, we actually have a School of the Prophets, and it's a 90-day prophetic intensive that gives people an ability to learn about all things prophetic, to be activated, to be mentored, and to become mature in the things of the Holy Spirit. And because this is the hour of prayer, one of the things that we talk about is the calling upon the body of Christ to discern. I have another book called Discernment, which I teach through, but also to teach people what it means to be discerning, and also shamar means, which is a prophetic term, shamar, which means to watch. So how we are to prophetically watch and pray and engage in spiritual warfare and engage in bringing the purposes of God forth. So if people want more information, they can go to ChristianInternational.com or they can go to TomAndJaneHammond.com, and the resources will be available to you so that you can step up your journey in learning a deeper level of prophetic walk.
All right. Thanks for sharing that. Now, in your book, you use a phrase, the God of peace rising. Can you elaborate on what that phrase means?
Yes. So the Lord spoke to me one Sunday morning when I was praying, and he said, number one, he said, you're coming into a season in the earth when chaos is increasing. And of course, I think we can all agree that that's the season that we're in. He said, then I'm going to use chaos to actually expose darkness. I'm going to use chaos to expose corruption and backroom deals and things that have been being done in secret, and I'm going to bring them into the light. And then the third thing he said to me was, the God of peace is rising. And he said that three times, the God of peace is rising, the God of peace is rising. Of course, this comes from Romans 16:20, when it declares, and the God of peace, who will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. And so I believe that we are in a season right now where there may be a lot of turmoil in the earth, but God is going to anchor his people in a place of supernatural peace. I thought of, in the Old Testament, the word shalom, which is the word peace in Hebrew. And when Hebrew scholars actually define this word, it, you know, they, the definition is peace and prosperity, wholeness, completion, to have favor with God, to have favor with man. But Hebrew scholars say that the deeper meaning of the word shalom is this: peace comes when you destroy the authority of chaos. How do we do that? By taking authority over chaos in our own life. Listen, if you've got an addicted child, a child that's gone away from the Lord and is addicted to drugs and alcohol, you need to take authority over chaos, and you need to take back your child. If you've got chaos in your finances, you need to, there's chapters in my books that make sure that you're dealing with any kind of a generational curse or anything that the enemy's trying to bring forth in a wrong, ungodly mindset, and we need to deal with those things of chaos and drive them out of our lives, repent, and turn around, and then watch the Lord restore to you what the enemy has taken. So I believe that we're in a time of contending, we're in a time of engagement in the Spirit, and we're in a time that I believe that the God of peace is rising, but he's going to crush Satan underneath his feet in the process.
Mm. Well, you know, Pastor Jane, you know, you're touching on, again, a number of issues that deal with practical steps in spiritual warfare, and I can imagine some of them are things that some of what you're touching on believers can grasp, but I would guess some of what you're touching on would be kind of brand new truths for some. And so would you pray for believers to be wise enough to really get, for example, get a tool like your book and other tools out there that teach us some of the specific things we all are, that very biblical, but things we're called to do to battle against the kingdom of darkness.
Absolutely. And, you know, in my book, Pastor Joseph, I have prayers, I have prophetic words that the Lord's spoken, and I have decrees for these things that you can actually speak out loud. So, Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, that you are equipping the body of Christ. Lord, that you are maturing us, Lord, in the realm of the Spirit. You're bringing the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is what Ephesians 1, 17 and 18 says, Lord, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will come so that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened and we will know what is the hope of our calling. So, Father, I thank you right now, God, that this is what you're doing in the body of Christ. Lord, that you're challenging us out of casual, comfortable Christianity, God, where we just go to church, pay our tithes, sing some songs, hear a good message, and then go on our way. But, Lord, you are instead calling us to be your representatives in the midst of the earth, God, with fresh revelation and new understanding, God, so that we can begin to extend and expand your kingdom everywhere we go, touching people's lives, breaking the power of darkness off of people's lives so that others can come into the freedom, light, and life that we all know. And so, Father, I just bless each one, Father God, to feel stirred in their spirit, Lord God, that there is more, Father God, that there is a greater dimension of the Holy Spirit. There's a greater dimension of your dynamics of power, God, that you want to release in them, to them, and then through them, Father, so that their lives can be changed, but, Lord, then they can change others' lives as well by your power in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Share with our listeners one more time. If they want to get the book, Confronting the Thief, tell them how they can do that.
Absolutely. You can go to Amazon.com or you can go to Tom and Jane Hammon, Hammon.com, and the book will be is released now and will be sent out to you immediately. So I hope and trust that this will be a powerful tool in the hands of every believer.
And if they're wanting to get maybe you I think you've alluded to maybe two or three of your other books. How many books have you written?
I've written six books, and they'll all be available on that website.
Okay. Okay.
I've written a book called Dreams and Visions, which will teach you how to interpret the dreams and that the Lord's giving you and the visions the Lord's giving you. I've written a book called The Cyrus Decree, which is about Cyrus the Great and his impact and influence on on reestablishing the land of Israel after Babylonian captivity. It has a lot of parallels to what God is doing in the earth today. I've written a book called The Deborah Company, which is about women becoming influencers in the world that we're in today, women being called to business, government, ministry, and affecting the world around them. I've written a book called Discernment, which is an essential guide for hearing the voice of God. Mm-hmm. I've written a book called Declarations for Breakthrough, which teaches us how to decree and how to bring breakthrough by the words of our mouth. And then, of course, Confronting the Thief. And I believe that God's going to give us the keys to take back what the enemy has stolen and to begin to declare a divine recovery over our lives. So
Amen.
These are our tools are a blessing to you.
All right. All right. Thank you so much again, Pastor Jane, for being with us. And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you have never given your life to Christ, you know you've never invited him to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're wanting to be in touch with you. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord, to put down roots deep in your new walk with Christ. Please get in touch with us. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Again, joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. We want to connect with you. Pastor Jane, thank you so much again. One more time, if someone wants to get the book Confronting the Thief, tell them how they can do that.
You can go to Amazon.com or TomandJaneHammond.com. God bless each and every one of you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jane. And please pray much for Pastor Jane and the work and the ministry the Lord has called her to. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.